There are two words, proficiency and efficiency. Proficiency is the knowledge of a particular subject, and efficiency is how to put it into practice. In fact, our message for the children also talks about, Bhagwan says, my devotee is efficient and pure. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna had proficiency. He knew how to fight the war. He was the best warrior of his time. He also knew the purpose for which he was there, to fight against evil and to protect the good. So the proficiency was there, the knowledge was there, but when it came time to practice it, to put it into practice, he suddenly gets confused. Oh, Bhagwan, I don't know what is my duty. You please tell me. Because he puts his personal agenda there. It's me fighting against them, not that I'm representing good against evil. So somebody told me last week, if the Pandavas were that evolved, they should have just left the kingdom and gone. I asked her, where would they go? Back in the forest? They already lived 13 years in the forest, 12 years. No, they could have found a house. I said, yeah, but who would be ruling the country? The rulers would be corrupt, would be dishonest, would be... And when the ruler is corrupt and dishonest, the country will be. So Arjuna forgot why he was there. And we all are like Arjuna. We know what I am supposed to do, what is the right thing for me to do. We have the knowledge, we have the ability. But when it comes time to put this knowledge into practice, is there where we suffer the Arjuna syndrome. That's why the Bhagavad Gita, the entire first chapter is devoted to Arjuna Vishad Yoga, where Arjuna's sorrow is not to show story of an Arjuna, but to show our own. So that's why Gurudev in his commentary said that we need to not only have proficiency, have knowledge, but also the ability to put it in practice. So in this fourth chapter, we have talked about the various yajnas or the various spiritual practices like sense control, control of the mind, control of my organs of action, my speech, dedicating all activities to the Lord, deva me apare yajna, so offering everything to the Lord within. And when we do these practices, when we have swadhyaya, we have right knowledge, and we control our mind, that takes us to a certain point in our spiritual journey. We'll talk about that little more today. But then Bhagwan, last week we said, Nahi jnane na sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. I think he's talking about today. Yeah. Last week he talked about dravya yajnyat jnana yajna shreya. So the knowledge is the most superior of all these yajnas, whether you are doing puja, or whether you are doing japa, whether you are doing going on pilgrimages, you are chanting the name of the Lord, doing prayers, going to the church or temple, doing service. Not that one should not do these. All these are all very essential for us to get our mind ready for knowledge. We have to go to the temple. We have to pray. We have to do service. Go on pilgrimages. Meet with saints, and get this right knowledge. So when the mind is ready, then the knowledge will take root. And so that's why the path of knowledge is considered to be the most superior. And we'll talk a little more about that. In fact, the rest of the fourth chapter, Bhagwan is again and again hammering why knowledge is important and what is the result of getting this knowledge, how one benefits from this knowledge. And then we had heard last week that approach a teacher with humility, stay in close proximity to the teacher, and then ask the right questions, and then the teacher will explain to you. And then Bhagwan says, na punar moham, then such a person will never get deluded, will never get confused about what is my duty, what is my purpose, what is my goal. And so now, let us see what is the result of this knowledge, jnana, and then again he will talk about the glory of knowledge. So verse number 36, chapter 4. verse number 36, what is the benefit of this knowledge? And what does this knowledge do to us? What exactly does it do? So, verse number 36. Api chedasi papebhyah sarvebhyah papa kritamah sarvam jnana plave naiva Vrijinam samtarishyasi. So, api, in case, chetasi, in case, chet, even, api means even, in case, even if you are, papebhya sarvebhya, papa krittama means you are the highest sinner, more than all other sinners, papebhya sarvebhya, you are the greatest sinner of all time. You have a PhD in sinning, you know, you have a master's, and you have accomplished the worst sins. Even if you are the greatest sinner and have committed the worst sin greater than anybody else, sarvam rajanam, all sins, jnana plave naiva, plava means a raft, a boat. So with the boat of knowledge, samtarishyasi, you will easily be able to cross all sins. He says, all sins? Yes, no matter what sins you have committed, at what time, if you are, you have the right knowledge, you can cross over all the sins. So, well, what about the law of karma? I thought I have to pay the results of all my karmas. So, we'll talk about that. Why Bhagavan is saying that even the greatest sinner can be saved by the boat of knowledge. So this world is compared to a river or an ocean, and as we need a boat to cross, so similarly in our life, we need this boat of knowledge to navigate this world. So let us see, we'll talk a little bit about sinner, because people, when they come to the Bhagavad Gita class, they say, Swamiji, I don't think this is for me. You don't know how many sins I have committed. When I was in college, I did so many things, and then I have been, you know, just having fun, never studied, never did anything good in my life. And Bhagavad Gita, you're telling me to do karma yoga and give up this, I don't think, mere liye to nahi hai. You don't know how many sins, not only physically, but mentally, how much bad I have thought about people, and I have, you know, got angry at times, and I have said things, and I don't think I'm qualified. Maybe next lifetime, you know, then I'll start at least as a child, maybe I won't do bad things. So, ye life to gayi, I'm gone. Or if I don't say, people will come and say, you are going to Bhagavad Gita class? You of all people? Either I think I'm unqualified, or there are a lot of people who are very willing to encourage us. What are you going to benefit from Bhagavad Gita? First, you improve your thinking, improve your behavior. So people always worry that I am not qualified, you know, and or we say, you know what, I still have a lot of anger, I still have some selfishness, I still have ego, I still have pride, I still have jealousy, greed. How can I get this knowledge? You know, they say first you have to purify your mind. Reduce your vasanas, you know, with the body, do right actions, with the mind, have right emotions, with the intellect, and then only you can reach Om, the Self. So I have to remove all my vasanas, reduce all them. It's going to take so many lifetimes. So Bhagavan says, don't worry. Whatever sins you have committed, you come to me. In fact, in the 18th chapter, he says, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham tva sarva pape bhyo moksha ishyami maasucha. You come to me, surrender to me, and all your sins, I will be able to take you over. So how can we cross? So this boat is a very beautiful example Bhagavan has given. Because in life, there are two shores. There is one shore here, and then there is a river, and then on the other side is the second shore. Now, the other side is the shore of peace, love, compassion, God, kindness. And on this shore, what do I have? Shopping malls, bars, restaurants, you know, all the casinos, all the pleasures of life. Not that there's anything wrong, but what we are doing is from life to life, we are wandering through this shore, sometime in this port, sometime in that port, sometime in here and there. And that thing looks to us too far away. How am I going to cross this river and this world of samsara and reach that other shore? It's too difficult. Why? Because, or we start finding joy. You know, this side looks a lot of fun. You know, maja hai idhar. You know, wahan pe, I don't know if I go there, peace, maybe it is boring, you know, the knowledge. They say, no, actually the joy of that is a million, million times the joy what we get by having a drink or eating a pizza or going to a casino or buying a piece of jewelry or a house or a car. Those are joyful, no doubt. But the joy when you cross is so much more that there is absolutely no comparison. So if you're looking for joy, that is the place to go. And the boat, I was reading somewhere, there are two planks. You know, they're like this, a raft has planks. So there are two planks and it is a sailboat. And what are the two planks? Discrimination and dispassion. So discrimination means I should know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what I should do and what I should not do. And then dispassion means drop what is wrong and pick up what is right. Because our boat is weighted down by so many negativities, negative habits, and so many, you know, likes and dislikes and possessions and getting and leaving and holding on. So our boat is so heavy, just as if your boat is too heavy and you want to take it across, it won't move. So what they say is, especially if the boat is sinking, the captain will say, throw all the unnecessary things. And then only your boat will be light enough to go if you have overloaded your boat. So our boat of life is overloaded with so many objects, emotions and thoughts, so many ideas. So there are three kinds of, actually four kinds of vyakti, vishaya, vritti, three, and then paristhiti. So vyakti means people, our attachment to people, or vastu, things, our attachment to things, or vritti, our attachment to ideas, emotions, or paristhiti is situation. So either we are attached to people, things, our ideas, or situations, and those are holding us down. So as you throw that is dispassion, slowly, slowly drop unnecessary things. Why do I need to go to the shopping mall? The extra time I have, let me sit and, if I have enough clothes in my closet, let me sit and think about God. Or unnecessarily going on the internet, or just picking up the phone and talking and chatting and texting people. We spend so much time on Facebook. Oh my God. Facebook and Twitter and half the things I don't even know, blogs, and it's not time unnecessarily. We could be spending that time. See, human life is limited. You know, you don't have unlimited time. And we have this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. We have Gurudev giving us this knowledge. And we are wasting it just on our phone. It is such a waste. So do not waste this human life. That's what the masters tell us. So drop unnecessary activities, unnecessary things. Don't need to have, you know, too many friends. Limit the, you know, relationships. And spend more time towards God. And what is God in this boat? God is the breeze. See, our sailboat is moving because God's presence is there. If this breeze is not there, the sailboat will get stuck. So God is the one which within us and outside is running this whole show. Everything is running because of Him. And so we have to remember that and make our way to the other shore. Use the knowledge given by the Guru. Use the power given to us by God. And go to the other shore. That's what Bhagavan is saying. Samtarishyati, easily you can do that. It's not difficult. But there are a few rare people who, having reached the other shore, come back to get us. And those are people like Gurudev and Raman Maharishi and Jesus and Buddha. They've already reached. They do not need to come and teach us. But it is their grace, their compassion, their love for us that they come back having reached that other shore, they say, no, I have to go bring my other people, because they are on. That's what Gurudev said. He said he was sitting happily in the Himalayas with his teacher, but he said, no, the people of India, the people of world need this knowledge. So he came down from the Himalayas. So it's like somebody, Ramakrishna Paramhans. So these are the great people who have given us this knowledge, Swami Vivekananda. So that is the example of this boat. So using this boat, you can cross all sins. How do we cross the sins? We'll talk in detail about it in the next shloka. But they say that this knowledge removes all sins. All difficulties can be removed by this knowledge. How? So they say that, for example, there is a person under trial and he has committed a murder, but he's still not been convicted. You know, he's going through the court process, he has a lawyer, and he's going regularly to the court, and, you know, the case is under trial, and suddenly he gets a heart attack and dies. Now, whom are they going to try? You know, once he's dead, they're not going to bring his dead body to the court. They'll say he's gone. The perceiver, feeler, and thinker is gone. The body is inert, so such a person cannot be tried. So what they say is that with this knowledge, the sinner is gone. The doer is gone, and we'll talk a little more about that. That I, that individuality, limited individuality goes away, and I, that consciousness alone remains. That is the goal of this knowledge, to tell us that you are not this limited individual, you are not this limited sinner, but you are that infinite self. So once you have understood, then you go beyond all sins, and we'll talk a little more in detail. How can this person, having accomplished this, all the sins are gone? Yes, we'll talk about that. But the important thing is that once you have this knowledge and once your sins have been absolved, you do not repeat the sins. See, one, I have to first of all repent for my sins, then not repeat them. And ultimately go beyond them. It's like you go to confession and you'd confess before the priest and say, Father, I have sinned. And then Father will say, okay, say so many Hail Marys and do this penance, you know, do this and that, make this donation to the church and you will be forgiven. So you are forgiven, but then you come out of the church and you start committing the same old sin again. Then what use is that? It's like people go to Gangaji, you know, to take a bath. I'm purified. I've taken a bath. All my sins are gone. Yeah, but he said, now I'm ready. Now I can commit more sins. Abhi main tayar hu. No, it's not like that. Once you have been absolved of sins or given up the something wrong, then not repeating is very important. And for that, it is very important to have the right knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. So know what you're doing. Get the right knowledge and then use it in the right place. That's why we say, listen, contemplate, and then apply it in your life. Talking about knowledge and applying, there was this young man who went from the village to the city and to visit his uncle. And he was living for a few days with the uncle. And then one day uncle says, you know, let's go to the neighbor's house. Say, what happened? He said, you know, his grandfather passed away, so we have to go, you know, express shok, you know, condolences. So they both go, uncle, and this uncle's friend, who was a very close friend, he says, you know what, you know, your grandfather passed, I'm so sorry. He was not only your grandfather, he was our grandfather. You know, we loved him so much. He did so much for us. He loved us. He did, you know, and we miss him terribly. And, you know, we are so sorry that, you know, our grandfather has passed. It's not only yours. So they were walking home. So he tells his nephew, he said, well, what happened to you? Why were you so quiet? You should have spoken something. You know, you were there. Why don't you know what you have to say? Okay, you know, so the nephew was quiet. He said, okay, they just listened. So after a few days, another death happens in the neighborhood. And uncle is busy, so he sends the nephew to go there. And nephew goes, and So this man is crying because his wife has died. So he says, you know, she was not only your wife, she was our wife. She did so much for us, we loved her, and we miss her terribly. And so this guy, instead of crying, gets so angry, he gives him 2 slaps. So the point is, he had the right knowledge, but where to apply it. So that's what the Bhagavad Gita teaches us, that the knowledge you have to have, and then where do you have to apply. So what is the word sin? Gurudev in his commentary explains very beautifully, what is sin, exactly sin? And then next shloka will talk about how to overcome the sins. So sin is, Bhagavan's Gurudev says, is what takes us away from our spiritual nature. Because we all are that Om, this Brahman, this consciousness, we all are, but we forget that. And anything that takes me away from my divinity is a sin. So anything that makes me act like a selfish individual, like a limited individual, again, we are not saying that one should not have things or possess things, but in the process, I should not do wrong things, I should not hurt others, and my goal in life should be clear. So anything that is done with the ego, I and my, is considered a sin. Whatever is done for us, for we and us, is slowly you are expanding your zone of influence. And ultimately, of course, one has to take care of our family and all that, the duties one has to do. But after having fulfilled our duties, let us spend some time in purifying our mind, reducing our vasanas, and sharing with others. So as the closer we come to the truth, we further away we go from the ego. The closer we come to the ego, the further we go from the truth. So that's why this BMI chart tells us that slowly I have to evolve beyond I and my to ultimately God alone is everything. God is functioning through me. Everything I see is God. So we have to expand our connection that everything is me. That understanding should come, that everything is me. Me, not the individual, the Anil or Pramod or the individual, but me, the consciousness, the self. Everything is that, so that understanding should come. And now, in the next verse, Bhagavan will tell us how this knowledge destroys all sins. Every sin that you might have committed completely gets destroyed.